Thanks, sir.
I heard a statistic a couple of weeks ago. The average lifespan of a church is about 80 to 90 years. You follow that with the trends that we see, what I've seen and what I've heard from others. You may see this here as well. And talking with Roy Webster, he's my brother-in-law. Pastors that are leaving the hard and fast faith, what we teach, what we believe the Word of God teaches. Graduates coming out of Bible college that are finding it's too difficult to plant a church sticking with the stuff and changing their position and stopping teaching the truth of the Word of God. Missionaries coming to the field and finding that it's too difficult and either leaving the field or changing their position to try to plant churches. I'll tell you, we don't need any of that. And I think it comes down to the question that we'll talk about and something that we need to be very concerned about today. Can God use me? It's the title of the message tonight is, Can God Use Me? And we don't have time to move backwards. We don't have time to lose people to quitting and giving up. There's no stopping place for us. And you know, we're great at wearing our Christian masks, and we come to church and we say the right words, we dress in the right clothes, and we carry the right Bible, but sometimes we don't want to answer that question, can God use me? I'm happy if he calls somebody else, and what a blessing to watch the video. Thank you, kids. Listen, keep that heart. Serve God. Don't look at anybody else and what they're doing. You focus on what God wants to do with you. We like to look at other people and say, well, they could do the job, but I don't have to. And that is the wrong mindset. I believe in the verse, the passage of Scripture we'll look at tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll read there verses 11 through 13. And I ask you to stand with me, Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. And I want to answer that question for you tonight at the end of this message, can God use me? I believe that there is a definitive answer for us. And so, as we read, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, and thank you, Lord, for the truth of this passage of Scripture, that you love each of us, that you have a plan for each of us, that you want to use us. And I pray tonight that you would help me to, Lord, speak this message as you've laid it upon my heart, that it would be a, Lord, a work of conviction in all of our lives to recognize that you have something for each one of us to do. We love you tonight. Pray that you would just be with me as I preach tonight. In Christ, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. As a missionary, I've traveled around and been in a lot of churches, and I've seen a lot of missionaries and missions conferences, and I've gone to pastors' meetings, and I see all these great men of God, and listen, there are some great men of God, but it's because God has done something through them. It's not because they are great men. And sometimes we, in missions conferences, we hold missionaries up on a pedestal and treat them like there's a special class of people, that they are doing something that we can't do. And I used to think that. We'd have our missions conferences at Boulevard, and we'd have missionaries come in, and I would think, man, those are the guys. And I hear it, man, they're the heroes of the faith. No, we're not. We're just people. We are just people. And sometimes that lulls us into a mindset that, well, they're special people and they have special abilities and God will use them, but he can't do anything with me. And I want to tell you that's a lie from the devil. He wants you to believe like that and think like that so that you won't do what God wants you to do. And God has a job for you. And I want to share this evening, I want to just kind of share my testimony. I am nobody special. I am just a country boy from Joshua, Texas. If you have any idea where that is, we're about 10 miles south of Fort Worth. When I grew up, we had one stoplight in Joshua. It's a tiny little place. I am nobody special. I am shy by nature. I'm an introvert. I do not like being in front of people. I especially don't like speaking in front of people. My first time that I ever preached, I stood at the pulpit at Boulevard Baptist Church just like this, and I had my notes in front of me, about 12 pages of notes, and I read just like this, the entire 12 pages of my notes. Didn't look at the crowd. I didn't want to see what they had to say. I just read my notes, flip a page, read my notes. In about 5 to 7 minutes, I was done, and I closed my stuff up, packed up, and walked down off the stage because I wanted to be done. There's nothing special about me, but God had something for me to do. And so I wanted to share my testimony tonight with you, give you an idea of where I came from. Now, as a boy, I got in trouble a lot, and I'm not trying to, I hope I don't pass any of this on to your younger kids, but my sisters, a little bit older than me, they were watching Disney, and I was probably about 8 years old, and they had on Mary Poppins. I could care less about Mary Poppins, but her entry was awesome. The umbrella, floating in on the umbrella, and I'm like, that looks like something that needs to be tested. And so I rummaged through the house and found the umbrella. My room was up on the second floor, so I climb out my window onto the roof of the house, open the umbrella, run and jump off the roof, and for a split second, I was like, hey, this is going to work, and then down I hit the ground. And so, listen, I had good intentions. I was going to help Disney prove that, you know, their stuff is true, but it was a bad plan. Bad plan. But God has plans for us, and his plans are never going to be bad. They're always going to be the right plan. Now, I was the youngest of four children, and my youngest sister, she was about 5 years older than me. So there was a little bit of a gap there between us. But I grew up in a house where I had a dad that I remembered hearing him talk about religious things, but I never saw him live that. He always had some very strong beliefs, but it was never evident in our life. I remember a handful of times going to church as a young boy, but what I grew up seeing was a father that was an alcoholic that smoked cigarettes, a mother that was an alcoholic, smoked cigarettes. I had a brother and two sisters that were on their way to being alcoholics, that were doing drugs. By the time I was 8 years old, I had stolen drugs from my brother, and I used drugs the first time when I was 8 years old. So not only did I grow up in a house like that, but I grew up in an abusive home as well. And so I grew up with watching an abusive dad in the house situation. And so as I grew up and became a young man, it's no wonder that I was headed down the same path that he was. I was out wreaking havoc, and I believe that were it not for finding Christ, that I would be dead or in jail right now. Amen. That's right. That's where my life was headed. So there's nothing special about me. But God has plans. Amen. You say, what in the world could God do with that kind of life? Well, I don't believe God wanted that for my family. Not at all. He would have much preferred for my parents to have taken us to church and brought us up right. But you know, living in that lifestyle, God took me to a country in Scotland where I'm around people and parents who they can take their children into a restaurant and they can order alcoholic drinks for their children when they're as young as 5 years old, as long as the parent consents to that. I'm in a country where the girls can get pregnant at 16 years old and the government will give them a house to live in rather than have a husband. So they encouraged the home to be separated. So, you know, God took that lifestyle that I lived, and he put me in a place where I can understand that life. And even though it was terrible life to grow up in, God can use that for good. He can use me to be able to show others, hey, there's a way of escape. There's a way to get rid of and come out of that and serve God. It's not what God would have wanted, but God can use that. You see, God's given us a roadmap, the Bible. He's given us a compass, the Holy Spirit, to be able to navigate this life. And it doesn't always make sense. It's not always easy. But God has a plan. We just got to keep following and serving him and seeing where it is that he is going to take us. Now, one of the things that I love about this passage of Scripture is that not only does God have a plan for us, but he has a plan with us. You see, God could force us to do whatever it is he wants us to do. But what he's done is he's called us and said, hey, I have an expected end for you. I have a direction that I want you to go. I have a place that I want to see you go and watch you flourish and watch you grow into the servant of God that I want you to be. But he waits and says, if you'll just take my hand and walk with me. He will not pull you blindly. He wants to take you willingly to walk with him. The problem is that we have a fear of that. And I wonder, why in the world would we ever fear this wonderful God that we serve and that he has a plan for us? Why would we ever fear that? He is so good to us in everything that we deal with. So moving on a little bit further down in my testimony, how did I get involved in church? Well, I started going. I had a wrong motive when I started going. If you would like to know why I started going to church, she's sitting right there. I met her through some friends who invited me to go out on a double date, and they had set that up. Well, the girl that I was set up on the double date with, she invited Janet to come along and didn't tell her it was a double date, so she was the fifth wheel. Now, when we went on that date, the girl that I was set up with, I hated her and she hated me. I didn't want to even breathe the same air that she breathed. I didn't like her at all, and she did not like me. But I liked Janet, and she had this thing, and she winked at me, and we were sitting across the table, and I'm like, she obviously sees the potential in, you know, this girl, this other girl, she's apparently dumb, too dumb to realize what she's got. But so I asked Janet out. Janet's response was, well, if you're going to go out with me, you have to come to church. So I'm like, okay, I'll go to church, and I'll follow that path as far as it needs to go, and then I'll be down the road. But God had different plans. So I went into the church, and there was a old-fashioned pastor who preached the Word of God, talked about hell, talked about salvation, and I heard who I really was, and I began to see who I really was. And I made a profession of faith, but it wasn't real, and would later get saved at Texoma Baptist Youth Camp as a sponsor there for the junior campers. And Brother Dick Webster was preaching that night, and I understood that I was lost, and I got up and I went forward at the invitation, and I prayed and I asked the Lord to save me truly that time. Got that settled once and for all. Asked Janet to marry me. We get married. About a year after marriage, we are at Bible college. You know what? God has a plan, but Satan has a plan as well. He knew who I was. He knew my background. He began to beat me up and began to work on me and began to tear me apart from the inside. And I struggled, and I had a hard time, and I faltered at Baptist Bible College, and we would go home. And I'm going to tell you, when I left, the question, can God use me? I felt that was answered. No was the answer. I failed the test. I'm not going to be able to be used by God. And I went home, and that hurt because, man, I had hopes, and I wanted to serve God, and I wanted to do great things, and I felt like it was over. But I'm thankful that God is bigger and badder than Satan. And he has plans for me, and he had an expected end for me. And he began to work in my life and began to nurture me through the trials and the things that I believed about myself and that old person coming back. And God said, hey, that's not you any longer. That's not who you are. I have a better plan for you. If you just take my hand and walk with me, I will do something with you. Quit trusting in yourself. Quit trusting in your background and whatever else is out there and just walk with me. Just follow what I have for you because I will take you down the right path that I have. And so I began to walk down that path. And it wasn't easy again. It's not been easy. There have been a lot of trials along the way. But I've tried to start seeing God's purpose in everything. I've tried to look for the small things in my life and see what it is that God is doing. Listen, there's a verse in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do we really believe that? We love saying that verse. But do we really believe that? That every little thing, that God's behind working in all of the scenes and all of the things in our life, even the small things. And so I started looking back at my life. And you know, when I was growing up in that house out in the country, we only had just a few people that lived in that area. And there was a little girl that lived in the house next to us and then another girl across the street. Because there weren't very many kids, we kind of hung out together. And the little girl that lived next door to me, her name was Sheila Williams. Now, some of you will get the significance of that because that's my mother-in-law. She wasn't my mother-in-law, the little girl. But when I met Sheila Williams, I'm going to tell you, that woman has a special place in my heart. She is one of the greatest servants of God that I know. And I love that woman dearly, my mother-in-law, because I really truly believe it wasn't for her, I may not be saved here today. Because she saw something in me that nobody else saw. And Janet will tell you in her testimony, she'll tell you there were times that she would go home and she would like, I am done with him. And her mom would say, just give him a chance. She says, she told her mom, if you like him so much, you marry him. But that little girl, Sheila Williams, there was a little church around the corner from us, Marystown Baptist Church. And they would have vacation Bible school every summer. And she would invite me to go to vacation Bible school. And I would go and I would hear about Jesus. Now, I said the first time I heard was when I was in church. I didn't really remember all those things until I started looking back and seeing this thread of life. This little thread that is weaved through my life that God was just putting people in my life here and there, just sowing that wonderful line of salvation through my life over and over again. And I'd hear about Jesus. I'd have friends later, a friend invite me to Baptist youth camp as a high schooler, about 16 years old. I went to Baptist youth camp, and we're there, and there were some guys there, and when we got into an argument, I was really mad. I punched a tree and broke my hand at Baptist youth camp. And so the sponsor came, and he pulled me into the dorm, and he sat me down, and you know what he did? He told me about Jesus. He told me there's a better way. He told me there's a God that loves me and that can change me and can fix my heart and the problem that I had. That thread of life just weaving through my life. Later, I have other friends that would invite me to Baptist activities. Their churches would have youth activities. They would invite me, and I would go, and guess what? I would hear about Jesus. And I started working a job, and I was a cook, and there was a waitress there, and it was the first time I ever heard about Boulevard Baptist Church. She went to Boulevard Baptist Church, where I would later get saved. And then one of my friends started going to Boulevard that worked there with me, and then he invited another friend who started going, who met the girl who had the sister who invited Janet that I would later get married to. A thread of life. And I wonder, where is God using you on the thread of life for somebody? He's trying to sew a tapestry in people's lives, and he's trying to use you to do it. But are we too content to sit in our seat and let somebody else do the job and not be used? Where would I be today? You know, the people that introduced me to church, my friends, when I went to church, one of them said, he'll never stick with it, talking about me. The other one is both of them out of church. We don't know who's going to stick, what God is going to do. Now, I told you I'm going to give you the answer to can God use me, and really the only difference there is between me, other missionaries, pastors, other servants that are working in the church, there's really just one thing. We said yes. That's it. There is no great formula. There is nothing significant. Just say yes to what God wants to do. I'm going to tell you, the devil is going to fight you. You saw in our video. It hasn't been easy. When Janet almost died, and was in ICU in the hospital, we could have packed up and said, well, we better get home to the U.S. where we have good health care and we can get her taken care of. Would that have solved anything? No. We just kept saying yes. God, this is where you want us. We know this is where you want us. We're going to stay. My son, kidney shut down. Oh, well, that's just too much. No, it's not. It's not. We just keep saying yes. God will be where you want us to be. I have cancer. We're not going to stop. Listen, I challenged Satan long, long ago when I was on deputation. I challenged Satan. I said, I don't care what you throw at me. I am not going to quit because my God is too great. The circumstances of my life are not going to dictate whether or not God is good to me. Because I want to tell you this. God, because He has an expected end for me and for my family, knowing that Janet was going to get sick, knowing that Dylan was going to get sick, knowing that I would have cancer, knowing that Taylor would have multiple sclerosis, knowing all of those trials that we would go through, you know how wonderful He is? He sent us to a country where we could get the health care that we need. You know how much we've paid for all of that? I'm going to tell you, if we were here in the States, that would be super expensive. You know how much money we've paid to have kidney transplants, cancer surgery, ICU, all of the treatment, Dylan's diabetic, and all. If you've dealt with diabetic, you know how expensive that is. That's how much we spent. Zero. Not one dime have we had to spend. That's how good our God is. You see, He has an expected end for you. And it may seem like it is something too impossible for Him to do, but I'm going to tell you, it's nothing for Him. It's only something for you. Just say yes. When God calls you, just say yes. When He says, hey, I want to use you on a mission field, just say yes. When He says, hey, I want to use you to work in, I'll guarantee you this, that if you went to your pastor here and said, I want to do something in the church, he's not going to say, I've got enough people, I don't need you for anything. Say yes. Do what God wants you to do. Be where God wants you to be. Serve where He wants you to serve. It could be in your school, with your classmates, at your work, wherever it is, just say yes. And I'll promise you this, God will do something great in your life. And you will look back, and you, if you look and follow that thread of life, you will see God doing amazing things, and you will say, how could I not have seen that in the moment? God is so good. Do not miss out on what He wants to do in your life because you're fearful of the circumstances that you're going through. If you'll stand with me, we'll have a word of prayer and turn over to the pastor. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. Thank You so much for the testimony of Scripture. We